church. So that's what we're going to be emphasizing for the next couple of months on Wednesday night. We are the church. And so this whole journey is for us to rediscover who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ. Who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ. So tonight we're going to talk about taking our place in Christ and in the body of Christ. Now it sounds pretty simple, but we want to re-examine ourselves and see, are we doing this consistently and faithfully? So we're going to start in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, I want to stop right there and just emphasize that phrase. We live in a very independent and self-centered, self-serving, and selfish, and self-absorbed society. I don't think any one of us would disagree. But Paul here is making a profound revelatory truth to us that when you're crucified with Christ, you must make a quality decision that you no longer live for yourself. You know, like we said, oftentimes, too often, everyone's main subject is about their three favorite people. And who are they? Me, myself, and I. So he said, no longer I live, but he said, but Christ lives, what? In me. So that means Jesus is using my body, he's using my mind, he's using my arms, my legs, my feet, my mouth, my vocal cords, everything about me. He is Lord. He's Lord of all. And he said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in who? The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, notice this very insightful 21st verse. I said, I do not set aside the grace of God. And some people unfortunately do that today. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. When Christ died, he didn't die to take sides with you. He died to be Lord of all of you. That means master, controller, owner, ruler, one who tells you what to do. So our first examination must be, is Jesus ruling and running my life? Or am I doing it? Is Jesus running and ruling my life, or am I doing it? Because to be the church, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, saints of God, we must relinquish our right to run our lives like we want to. We must surrender and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ to allow him to rule and reign in our hearts, in our lives. Amen. Now, I know that's not necessarily get a lot of cheers, and I certainly didn't get hardly any amens, but people like to be in control of themselves. They like to sleep how long they want, when they want. They want to eat what they want. They want to do what they want to do. And we become a people habituated in being selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, and self-centered. Being a church starts right here. Crucifying ourselves with Christ. Identifying with the Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and when he rose, then he rises and reigns and runs and rules over our lives. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship where Jesus Christ is Lord of all of you. He gets to tell you to do what to do with your money. He gets to tell you to do what you're eating. He gets to tell you to do when you go to sleep, when you pray, what you're supposed to do. He's in charge. As we used to say sometimes, he's the big boss with the hot sauce. Amen. You can't be the church if Jesus is not Lord. And he must be Lord of all. And it's going to be a heavy statement. Or he can't be Lord at all. He must be Lord of all, or he cannot be Lord at all. So tonight, first examination is what? Is Jesus Lord of all that pertains to me? Am I living my life under the rulership and leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ? All of my life, everything, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, socially, and financially. Have I made the choice to live all of life under the lordship and leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my identification. Paul had experience. He had great education. We know he had two PhD, what we call PhD degree. He was a Pharisee, and he was a doctor of philosophy. He studied under the great leadership, educational leadership. So he had experience. He had education. He had expertise. He had the right ethnicity. He was born in the right tribe, circumcised at the right time. He had all the checks blocked for his religious experiences. He was what we would call flawless in his resume. But he said, I count all of that as nothing, and I am crucified with who? With Christ. I don't exist anymore. I don't exist, and wake up and put me up. I put him up to rule and run my life. Now, we got to start there, because if you don't start there, it doesn't make any sense anywhere else. Because people want to do church how they want to do church. They want to pick and choose what they want to do, because there's still a little self in the center instead of putting Christ in the center. Amen. Everybody say, I am crucified with Christ. So you have to identify that when Christ died, I died there with him. And the life I'm supposed to live right now in this body, in our physical body today, September the 1st, first day of September 2021, the life we're supposed to live in this body is to be used by Jesus, to live for his pleasure, his satisfaction, and his delight. Are you living for his pleasure, his satisfaction, and his delight? Or are we talking about our pleasures, our desires, our delights? Everybody say it with me. We are the church. It starts right there. It starts right there. One of the greatest confessions and the greatest shifts you can make every day is to declare and to decide. Listen to me. Declaring with your mouth and deciding in your heart, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord and personal Savior. I am crucified with Christ. Don't get up and tell everybody how you feel and what's going on and make yourself the centerpiece of the entire day. The central focus and theme of everybody you talk to is about you, yourself. Lord, I'm yours to command. Control. You're my controller. You get to tell me what to do. What are we doing today, Lord? What do you want me to do today, Lord? Y'all here tonight? Everybody's looking at me. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, everybody say in Christ. Everybody say it's better to be in Christ than to be outside of Christ. Now look at someone next to you, around to you, smiling real big. Say, you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. Now look at someone else and say, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. All right. So if therefore anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We know when you're in Christ, every day is a new day in Christ. Everybody say every day is a new day in Christ. Now get rid of that even notion or ungodly idea that I'm bored. It's boring. I don't do nothing. You just lay around the house all day, getting depressed and discouraged. Not if you're living in Christ. Because he said, therefore, if any man be in where? In Christ. He's a new creation. He's a brand new species and being. He's new in kind. You're new in quality. Come on now. Every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a new day in Christ. Every day is a new day in Christ. Come on now. If you're not impressed, if you're not impacted by who you are in Christ, you haven't seen him. You hadn't seen him or her lately. You hadn't seen yourself in Christ. You can't be bored and bittered and bothered if you're in Christ. You can't carry around emotional baggage being in Christ. Come on, because you're so impressed with in Christ, you say, I'm going to trade in Christ because I look a whole lot better in Christ than in this crisis. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everybody say, all things have become new. That means every day is a new day in Christ. See, some people don't take their place in Christ on a consistent, regular basis, so they're always got their foot, hand, and body outside of Christ, and even their mind outside of Christ. And there's the crisis. There's the chaos. There's the confusion. There's the conflict. Outside of Christ is not any good. And outside of Christ is not the will of God. Therefore, anyone in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We should chew on that all the time. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing coming my way. I'm in Christ. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I'm in Christ every day. Well, you got to faith like you in Christ every day. Listen to what I said. Faith like you're in Christ every day. He said, now all things are of God. Where? In Christ. Who reconciled himself to us, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So immediately knowing that God has put us in the ministry. Ministry just means God's got something for you to serve him with. The main thing here is you're serving him with the high priority of his kingdom. The high priority of his kingdom is the ministry of reconciliation. And what is that? He says that is that God was in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So that means you got something, a word for somebody all the time. Everybody say, I have a word. You have a word. If you're in Christ, you're in the ministry. You've been called and set apart for that ministry. But most people don't think that way. They think that's only the pastor's job. But you're in Christ. You have an assignment. Let's keep going. Now then, we are ambassadors for who? For Christ, as God through God word pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a brand new creation in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. And in me, He did not impute sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm read down to verse 8. It says, For I say, though, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every one a measure of faith. Amen. And so, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Now notice what it says in verse 3, that we've been given faith. We've been given faith. So we have to realize that as the church, as we are being the church, we're not to be faithless. We are to be faithful. And you can flip it around and say it this way, brothers and sisters. You can say, full of faith. I am not supposed to be faithless. I'm supposed to be faithful. So God has dealt to you faith. Anybody ever played cards? Okay, you play cards, and if you're at the slot at the table, the dealer deals you, and deals everybody, usually in the game, an equal number of cards. Or you can accuse the dealer of what? Misdeal, right? Yeah, I know everybody has been saved all their life. Come on, everybody know what they're talking about. Everybody know what I'm talking about, right? So you can't accuse God of misdealing, because he said he's dealt to who? Every person faith. Now, King James says the measure. I think that's more accurate, because he gave everybody the same measure, same number of cards. You and I have the same faith capacity as the other Christian sitting next to you. And we think of people that achieve great things for God, and we say, well, they got more faith than we do. No, that's really not scriptural. You got the same measure of the God kind of faith that they have. Now, the priority is, see how it steps down. Verse 3 says you've got faith. But you're not supposed to just abuse it or misuse it, or like unfortunately too many people, not even use it. So some people abuse, they misuse, or they don't even use their faith. So you get, your faith has to be involved here. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just chew on that for a minute. You got faith that you use, you're supposed to use to function as the body of Christ, to function as a member of Christ, to be in Christ. You need your faith. You can't minus it. You can't be faithless and be the church. You can't be faithless and be in Christ. You got to use your faith. For as many members of the body, all have not the same function or use. So then, verse 5, we being many are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts. Everybody say gifts. So now we've been given faith, but now we got gifts. Oh. So you have to examine and rediscover your gift. Your God-given grace, your God-given gift is. He has given gifts different according to the grace that is given unto us. Now, this word gifts is the word charisma. Charisma, you might say it more plainly. But it's charisma. Charis, it means gracious joy gift. What does that mean, Pastor? It means when you use, not misuse, not abuse, when you use your gift, your God-given gift, it brings not only you joy, but it brings others joy. So when you're in your gift, you're in your strength place. And in, you're operating in your supernatural grace. When you're in your gift, when you're using your gift, you're in your strength place. There's some concepts about that. Leverage your strengths. What are you good at? What has God gifted you with? You've got to use it. Don't abuse it, and don't decide not to use it. Use it. He said, given to us. He said, let them use them. Everybody said, I got to use it. You know the old phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, let us use in our ministry. Notice how he's saying, use. And he who teaches in teaching, and the inference is to use it, and exhorts in exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who sows with mercy and with cheerfulness, shows mercy with cheerfulness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so he tells you how to use those specific types of gifts. Why? So that you can function and not be in dysfunction. So that we as a church, being the church, we're not dysfunctional, we're functional. We have to get the dis, D-Y-S, out of our function. Hallelujah. The church is not an organization, but an organism. It's a living and unified entity with many parts. There's only one body of Christ, but there are diversity of gifts within that body. And that diversity ensures that the health of the unified body. The diversity ensures the health of the unified body. And so you're supposed, you have faith, you have the gifts, and you have to use them. Now the scripture tells us two things that we're supposed to do with our gifts. Number one, we're not to neglect our gift. Everybody remembers the parable of the talent. The one talent guy did what? He buried what he was given. Now I know that was more bent toward money, but think of it as your gifts. You've been given a certain amount or number of gifts. You can't just bury them. And burying them just symbolically means I only use it for my selfish means and methods. There are a whole lot of talented people being gifted by God that are not using it to serve God and others. They're using their gifts to just make money, to build their empire. As what we say today in 2000, build my brand. So people want to build their brand. But we're supposed to build the church. Does that make sense? So you can't neglect your gift. Neglecting is dishonoring that gift you've been given. You're telling God, what you've given me is not good enough, or I don't want it. You're not receiving it, you're rejecting it. Number two, you got to stir up the gift. Everybody say, stir up the gift. You got to stir up your gift. You got to fan the flame, rekindle the embers of what you have. Now, how do you do it? What's your stirrer as a Christian? Your stirrer is right below your nose. Right here, if you're looking at me, this is your stir. You have to say what God said about you, and you have to speak and acknowledge the gift of God in you. Simple way is say, I'm stirred up. The gift of God in me is stirred up. I stir up the gift of God. Because remember, what came first? Everybody say faith. Faith comes, and then the grace is activated. Charisma is a part of the grace you've been given. But without no faith, there cannot be no grace. You have to have the faith released so that the gift or the grace can be activated. So you got to say, I've got the gift of teaching. I can teach under the anointing and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. I have an utterance to teach and explain the gospel, to expound the word of God. Praise God. And to enlighten people with the truth of God's word. I've been anointed to teach on another level. Come on now. That the world is not familiar with. In the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. You've got to acknowledge that gift. And you've got to esteem that gift and express your faith in that gift. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go. Is our faith working? Our faith working and God working, God at work in us. So let's talk about our faith a little bit more. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship." Everybody say workmanship. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, for God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. So we're supposed to be co-laboring with God. There's work for us to do. Now, many of you have heard me say this expression or phrase, there is no unemployment in the body of Christ. It's just people that have refused to go to work. Now, I'm going to clarify and simplify two primary works that we all have. In other words, these is your primary job descriptions. Think of it as your employment in the kingdom. Primary job descriptions, okay? So there are things God has worked and is working in us and things that he's wanting to work out of us, all of us. So all of us as Christians, as a church, have work from God whether we have a job or not. So sometimes the mentality of the culture or the culture of the world gets in us, and when we don't have a job, we just think, well, I have nothing to do. And so they fill the void of them having that perception that there's nothing to do with a whole bunch of junk and busyness. People stay up late, play games, do this, whatever, watch TV, and spend hours and hours of time, really wasted time, not working at all. Amen. You may be at a place where you don't have a job, but you still have work. Having a job doesn't determine you don't have to work. Hallelujah. Everybody say work. Work is good. Work is of God. There are things God has worked out. So all of us have work. The phrase "in Christ" next to Jesus' word "is finished" are some of the most outstanding, beautiful, and awesome takeaways of the gospel. So we're talking about taking our place in Christ and in the body of Christ. It takes work. Faith work. Amen. So what God wanted to do in every person, he did in Christ. Then he put you and I in him, in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, where are we? In crisis, then we're in crisis. So the word "in Christ," that phrase "in Christ," those two words are blood covenant terms. Blood covenant terms. Okay? They reveal what? Who you are, your identity, and what you possess, your inheritance. In Christ reveal who you are and what you possess, your inheritance, your identity and your inheritance. So, for example, your inheritance is, as we've been talking about, is peace. You have a covenant of peace in Christ. You have a covenant of protection. We talked about that. Many of you have gotten the emails and read the emphasis, because God wants his children to know that he has the best ever protection plan. Amen. For all of his children. Amen. In spite of what's going on in the world, what's spite of what's happening in your even in our community, God can protect you from any danger, any disaster, any disease. But he wants us to believe it and receive it. That's our inheritance. That's what we possess in Christ. You have a divine protection plan in Christ. All right? Prosperity is another one. You know, sometimes people look at me sideways when I say everybody should be increasing. And you should be very bothered if you're not increasing financially. Why? Because you have a covenant. You have a covenant with God. You have a covenant. Everybody say, I have a covenant. He told Abraham and he told Jesus Christ. He blessed us. He blessed Abraham. He blessed and increased him. That means you're a child. You're hooked up by faith in Abraham, with Abraham. That means you are blessed. You're not on the subtraction side. You're on the plus side. You're on the multiplication side in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But see, it's hard to receive prosperity when you're thinking poor. And poor thinking is outside of Christ. Because he said, my God, come on now, shall what? Supply. How much? All of your need according to whose riches?
His riches.
Not your bank account. His riches where? In glory by who?
Christ Jesus.
That's Christ.
Hallelujah.
In Christ, everything is met. With heaven's best. His riches and glory. Unfortunately, people don't believe it. Why? Because they're outside of Christ in their thinking. They're outside of Christ in their thinking. And they're thinking poor. And God says, I've given you poverty. I made you wealthy behind your wildest dreams. He even told us in Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, I've given you the power to produce or get wealth. That why? So that you can establish his covenant. His covenant of what? His covenant of prosperity on the earth. So that's a work assignment. We got to establish his covenant of prosperity in our lives. We got to show the world that God really takes care of his kids.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. But see, if you don't know who you are, you're certainly not going to know what you have. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:1-13. 2:12-13, excuse me. Philippians 2:12-13. Dear friends in New Living, you've always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard. Everybody say work hard.
Work hard,
work hard to show the results of your salvation. That means, whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. You mean I got to work on myself? Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. I learned from a mentor of mine, a leadership mentor of mine, he says, you need to work harder on yourself than you do your job. Now, some folks will work hard on their job, but they don't work hard on themselves. And what am I saying? What are the prevailing 2 points I'm making tonight? You got to take your place in Christ and take your place in the body. But you got to work hard with your faith on both of those areas. Are you working hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear? Verse 13, for it is God working where? In you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Somebody say, glory to God. This shows us that God is at work in us, and we are to work faithfully in the salvation of God done in us and done for us. We all should be articulate in answering the question, what is my faith working on? If we took inventory, a poll, survey, we all should be very articulate. What's my faith working on? Now, people have reduced faith to just clothes, cars, careers, cribs. I'm just keeping it. See, that's house. That's your house. So and cash. So people put faith in just the box here. It's just clothes I'm getting, cars, a new car I'm believing for, a career change maybe I'm looking for, and maybe my house for, and then cash, more money. And so that's a reduction of faith. That's not a full revelation of faith. Hallelujah. So what's your faith working on? Just cash? Just a car? Just a crib? Just a career? The words the body of Christ. So we got in Christ, now the body of Christ. The words the body of Christ are also blood covenant terms. Now, notice how I'm emphasizing. These are blood covenant terms. They reveal your place, your part in the body, your grace, and your race, which is your role and responsibilities within the body, like a military unit. Many of us are familiar. You're assigned to a different unit. Each member of the body of Christ has a divine appointment. When you come into the military, the first thing they do, Brother Lou, what do they do? You have to swear in. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and what defend the Constitution of the United States. And so we were appointed as soldiers or airmen in his case, or sailors in other people's case in the Navy, or Marines and people in the Marine Corps. We all have to take that appointment. And at that point, we belong to who? The U.S. government. We are the property of the U.S. government. But in the body of Christ, we have to say we are the property of the kingdom of God in the body of Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns us because Lord means owner. It means master. It means ruler. It means controller. Lord is just a short definition of what we use today in contemporary language, landlord. The landlord is the one who runs the whole territory. He owns it all. That's an old term. They reduced it a little bit today. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. So you have an appointment, you have an assignment, and you have an alignment. So once you've been appointed to the army, where'd they send you, Brother Lou? They sent you to a place to train. In his case, Air Force, he trained right here, San Antonio, Texas. And then they shipped him off to wherever his assignment was after that. You have a training assignment, and then you have a duty station assignment. We all have an assignment, appointment, and an assignment, and an alignment. You belong to not just an organization, but an organism called the church. Hallelujah. So each member of the church, the body of Christ, has been created in Christ, called and commissioned, just like when I was commissioned, when they pinned the golden bars on me as a second lieutenant from ROTC when I graduated from college and commissioned me as an officer. You've been commissioned by God Almighty. Hallelujah. And we've been commissioned to fulfill and faithfully finish our appointment, our assignment, and our alignment. Look at First Corinthians 12:18. But God has put all parts of our body together in a way that he decided is best. So we don't get to pick and choose where we go to church or what we do in church or whether or not we come to church. Because when the assembly is called, when the formation is called in the military, you should be present and accounted for when they call the roll. I'm present and accounted for. When you were absent, they called it AWOL, absent without official leave. You were AWOL. Everybody say, we are the church. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? So let me go back and emphasize these two points. The first primary work of our faith is twofold. Write it down if you want. First, your faith in the blood, which includes the finished works of Christ. So you're not starting over, ladies and gentlemen. Some people think it's religion. But it's righteousness, sister. You don't start over. You start where he stopped. You start where he finished. That's why your faith is in the finished works of Christ. Your faith is in what Jesus has already done for you. That's why taking your place in Christ is the first faith step. Because it's what God did in Christ, not for just Christ, but for the body of Christ. He did it for us. Our blood covenant and what God through Christ did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. I mean, you something, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 is something. Anyone be in Christ is a new creation. See, we can't identify with our old stuff and old self anymore. Our identification must be tied up, tangled up in Christ. Somebody, totally immersed in Christ. You're not the same person as you used to be. You're a brand new creation in Christ. You're new in kind, new in quality. You're so brand new, you have to introduce yourself to your new self. Hallelujah. Secondly, our faith is to be in the work of discovering who we are, where we are, what we are, and what we possess in Christ. Now, the secondary work is this. Secondary work. So if you got the first work, it's twofold. Secondary work is our faith and our faithfulness in taking our place, operating by God's grace, and faithfully and fruitfully running our race in the body of Christ. So first one is faith for who we are in Christ, what we possess in Christ. Second one, secondary work of faith, is taking our place, running, operating in the giftedness and grace that God's given us, and running our race in the body of Christ. Race is just analogous with your role and responsibilities. 1 Corinthians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Everybody say work of faith. Work of faith is mentioned first. That should give us a clue. What should we be doing first? God gave us faith first. We're saved by grace through what? Faith. God gave you the faith to get saved. That was his first gift to you. So he wants you to use his first gift to you, which is faith. That's why faith is so important. You're not using your faith. He dealt you a measure, the measure of his faith. Are you using it? And the first area you need to use it is who you are, to discover who you are in Christ and what you possess in him, your identity and your inheritance. Everyone in this church, let me just put it real plain before I forget to say it or run out of time. Everybody should be running in this church wide-eyed and mouth just grinning from ear to ear. I got a new discovery. I just found out more about who I am in Christ and what I have in him. We've not been impressed or impacted enough of who we are and what we have in Christ. We think it's cheap, dirty down religion. We're just another religion just like the rest of them. And we talk more about the struggle than we do about the Savior. We talk more about the crisis than we do about the Christ. Okay? Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 1:11. 2 Corinthians 1:11. Excuse me, Corinthians. I said Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:11. That's what I meant to say. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that God would count you worthy of this calling, fulfilling the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith. Everybody say work of faith with power. Power is the ability to get results and produce results. God's calling us not only to be faithful, but fruitful. That means we ought to show results of who we are in Christ and taking our inheritance in Christ. And we ought to show results of taking our place in the body of Christ. So our faith should be working. Our faith should go to work before we physically go to work. The fundamental work of our faith should be who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, and what we have in Christ. James 2:7 reminds us that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so we said it this way, a work, W-O-R-K, hyphen less, a workless faith is a worthless faith. Faith without accompanying and corresponding works is insufficient. It won't save. It won't serve. And it won't sow or support. Therefore, making the body, people in the body of Christ, dysfunctional. I mean, think about it. You got close to 90% of the body of Christ that doesn't even tithe, don't give. They don't believe they have to sow. You know, volunteerism is low because people, for some reason or another, feel like, you know, I only want to do so much. When if he's Lord of all, he's got all our time. And we should count it a privilege and an honor and an opportunity for him to even use us for 1 hour. Remember he asked the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, can you even pray with me 1 hour? I need an hour of your time. I mean, you're talking about the master. The Lord Jesus saying, come pray with me. I can't pray. And, you know, prayer service is always, some people think it's optional. When they have time, they just don't want to give that time to pray. Well, let me not stop. Let me stop meddling. Faith without what works is what? Dead. So our faith needs to be work at work on who we are in the body. Not just who we are in Christ, but who we are in the body. So now try to argue with me that, okay, there's nothing for me to do in church. Well, we're thinking outside of Christ, not in Christ. There's always stuff for you to do in Christ. So if we don't work our faith on these truths, then we become victims of spiritual identity theft. Our identity is found in the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Kenneth E. Hagin had a lady, he was visiting that church ministering, and he told them and challenged them. He said, there's 134 New Testament scriptures, references of in him, in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. These are identification tags or taglines. You know, everybody familiar with Facebook a little bit, they know you can tag certain things. You should tag everything in the New Testament that says in Christ. Because that tells you who you are. The whole mainly the Pauline or Apostle Paul's epistles are hung on those two golden platinum secrets in Christ. But what we're supposed to major in, most people minor in. They think it's an optional subject. I don't have to use my faith for in Christ. I just need to go and use my faith for the clothes, the cars, the career, the crib, the cash. Are y'all here with me tonight? But our faith is barely working or rarely working on who we are in Christ. Philemon 6, everybody know familiar with that script verse, maybe, that the communication of what? Your faith becomes what? Effective or effectual by acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. You have to acknowledge. When do you have to do it, Pastor? I suggest every day. Because if you don't take your place in Christ, you're going to be in crisis that day. Because if you're not in Christ, you're outside of Christ, and if you're outside of Christ, you're in crisis. Crisis is synonymous with confusion, chaos, conflict. Too many times people utter the words, I'm having a bad day. It's not a good day. Now, I'm not saying circumstantially it has to be good all the time. Circumstantially, it could be horrible, horrific. But in Christ, you're victorious. In Christ, you're triumphant. In Christ, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. In Christ, you have been blessed with every single spiritual blessing that there is, that exists in Christ. But you have to acknowledge it before you access it and activate it. These are not automatic identities and inheritances that you get to just walk around in. You have to acknowledge it before you activate it and access it. And so the victims, tragically, in church, are those of spiritual identity theft. So, why? Because if we don't know who we are, then we act like and behave like someone or something else, like someone who we're not. We are in crisis, a spiritual identity crisis. If the enemy can get us into pride, strife, selfishness, then we can lose our spiritual identity, and then we can lose out on accessing our spiritual inheritance. Victory, triumph, blessings, peace, protection, prosperity, healing. That's all available to us. Where? In Christ. So that then this understanding and remarkable works of God, both our identity and our inheritance, are given to provide it for us by his amazing grace. You say, God, how do you give me? You ought to be walking there and say, man, I can't believe God showed me that and God gave us that. And you're always coming in so impacted and so impressed with what God has done. And you just blurt out, amazing grace, amazing grace, amazing grace. This is awesome. This is remarkable. And see, we come in. Praise team can't even get us off our hands off our seat. We are the church. Everybody say, we are the church. So the enemy wants to steal two things as I'm closing. To prevent you from being the church. Two things. Write this down if you want to. If you would, please. Two things. Because each day, ladies and gentlemen, we have both a chance and a choice. Everybody say, I have a chance. And I have a choice to take our place in Christ or take our place in the body of Christ. Each day we get to choose to be in Christ or to be where? In crisis. We decide willingly or sometimes unknowingly daily to take our place and do our part in the body of Christ. Don't feel like, okay, it's not church time, so I don't have to work on my role or responsibilities. That's why all this delayed obedience and waiting to the last minute and not getting things done. So some people don't realize God's a good accountant. And he says, you don't value what I've appointed you and anointed you for. You don't value where I've placed you in the body. That's a valuable and honorable, esteemed position. But we drag our feet and shuffle our leg, and we have struggles with technology and all this stuff. When God's given us the ability, the Holy Spirit, the greater one, to be able to do all things. Through who? Through Christ. Everybody say, I can do all things, through Christ. See, some people make excuses. Age, experience, education. You're not inept in Christ. He didn't make you a damaged new creation. He didn't make you a dysfunctional, come on now, Christian. All right, praise the Lord. But some people don't take the chance or make a choice to rely on who they are in Christ to get to the next level, to step up into their place. They think they use the world phrase, I can't. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't increase my money. I can't believe God for more money. I can't believe God for increase. I can't trust God for peace or protection. I gotta worry all the time. Pastor, you just don't know. So we make excuses. We ask for special exemptions. And we think, where? Outside of Christ. That's not a great place. We can't be the church if we're thinking and living outside of Christ. We have a choice and a chance, a choice to do our part in the body. We have a chance to, if we chance it unwisely or choose foolishly, we can open the door for the enemy to steal two important things from us. John 10:10 says it. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them rich and a satisfying life. Now, what is that? Does that seem negative to you? Jesus' purpose, is Jesus' purpose negative to anybody here? Is it negative to anybody online? No, the enemy's purpose, the devil's purpose, is negative. But the first thing gives us a clue what Jesus said. He comes to steal. He comes to steal, number one, your identity. Everybody say, my identity. Everybody say, I got to protect my identity. Do you have identity theft protection? He, the enemy, knows that you have something. He knows those 133, 134 in Christ scriptures are filled with riches and revelation. But he said, I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to either make you bad or make you busy. So you never discover who you are. So you always act like what? Who you're not. Or like somebody else. Praise the Lord. So your identity is based on being in Christ. The devil wants to steal your identity. He doesn't want you to know your identity. So the best way your identity is stolen is to keep you from knowing your Heavenly Father. Because your identity is not independent of Him. And independent of Jesus. When you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, one of my favorite animals of all time, I always tell my son, that's my favorite animal, my grandson, lion. Remember, everybody remember the Lion King, right? What did Mufasa tell him, his father tell Simba? See if y'all got your history, movie history up to speed. When Rafiki hit him on the head and said, look harder. And stirred the water. Put a knot on his head. Some people, I need Rafiki's too. I need to probably put some knots on people. But look harder. What did he do? He saw who? He saw his father. And when Mufasa said, Simba, you've forgotten me. And he said, what? When you've forgotten me, you've forgotten who you are. I am your father. I like that movie, so praise God. Hallelujah. I might even watch it tonight. I don't know. Satan's number one crime against Christians is spiritual identity theft. You have two identities. Number one, write this down, your individual identity and your corporate identity. Everybody knows the city of Corpus Christi. Corpus, Latin word for corporate. Corpus means body. People know who they are in Christ, but they may not know who they are in the body of Christ. You have to have and know both. Amen. So we must have corporate identity. What does it look like? Unity and not uniformity. Unity and not uniformity. Because some people want to control how everybody sits, everybody looks, everybody walks, talks. No. It's unity. Unity comes through diversity. We celebrate diversity in unity and community with one another. That's real corporate unity, corporate identity. We celebrate the gift of God in every person. Go ahead with your bad self. You're doing good. Keep doing what you do. One member suffers, we all what? Suffer with it. One member's honored, we all what? Rejoice. That's how we keep unity in the body. And community in the church. When we don't celebrate other people's victories, then we can be a cause for strife and division in the body. Oh, that didn't happen to me. How come they get blessed? Well, let me keep going. I don't have time to meddle. I can go a lot further in that, but we're going to talk about that later. So unity comes from agreeing with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard for people to follow a leader when they're not submitted and surrendered to the Lord. You get people trying to serve in church, and they won't follow a leader to save their life. They're rebellious, they're disobedient or obstinate, or always having creating obstacles to a leader. But it just reveals what their heart is really like. They're not surrendered and submitted to the Lord. Agreement and alignment doesn't come from just uniformity. It comes from unity. Psalms 133 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It produces not only power, the anointing, but pleasure, joy, delight. That means people enjoy working together with God in church. There is divine alignment and agreement, and corporate identity can't happen unless there's agreement and alignment with the Lord. So if you got a few rebellious saints or rebellious perpetrating saints, they're not in alignment. They're out of alignment. Now, I got my car serviced today through this dealership, Toyota dealership. They do what? They rotated my tires, changed my oil, but they made sure it was in, lined up, so I can drive smoothly. Some things are not smooth because people are out of alignment. When you live in rebellion and disobedience to the Lord, you refuse to live all of life under the lordship and leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're out of alignment and out of agreement. You don't have corporate identity just because you go to church. Religion counts that as a check to block, but righteousness doesn't count that as a block checked. You don't have corporate identity because just because you go to church, but it's by you being the church. And if you're not being the church, you will lose your corporate identity. Or you allow it to be stolen from you by the enemy. Now what happens? Our first commission or mission is his mission. But why is it that nobody hardly shares, brings, or invites? They really don't have a corporate identity. I'm not trying to be mean, but identity comes from agreeing with the head. Amen. Agree with the Lord, and then those leaders walk in submission to them, over you in the Lord. Agreement and submission is not the same thing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So when you get in a place of stolen identity, your beliefs and behaviors relegate to crisis, conditions, criticisms, cynicisms, complaining, comparison, and envious competitions like the world and wicked people. So your whole sphere of life is all about crisis, the conditions, your complaints, your criticisms, your cynicisms, being cynical, comparing, and competing against people. My life's better than yours. I got more money than you. I got a bigger this. I got a better that. See, comparison and self-commending and competition is the fruit of foolishness. We should not allow the devil to steal our identity of who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ, in that order. See, it's when a church, when we become... We are the church, not just a church. God called us to be the church in the community, not a church on the corner. When the church works together, it's phenomenal what we can do. We can't save people and grow people in church by saving and trying to grow people. We save people by bringing the Savior to people. And unfortunately, many people don't bring the Savior to people. They bring themselves to people. See, we constantly are, when we constantly and consistently act like we are the church, we are inviting people to Jesus, introducing people to Jesus, and we are impacting people for Jesus and influencing people with and for Jesus. The second thing you get stolen is your future. As I'm closing, identity and future. That's what the devil goes after. Thieves don't rob empty houses. They don't come because they come because you have something. So we can't just confess we're a new creation, but we got to be a new creation in Christ. We got to be the church. I like how Mark Hankin says, don't say I'm trying to be, Pastor, I'm trying to be, or someday I'm going to be. No, just be. Just be the church. Just be in Christ. Don't just come to church. Be the church and build the church. Don't let the devil steal your future. Now, one small snippet here as we wrap it up. Time is one of the most precious and priceless commodities we all possess. I remember, just forgot his name. Zig Ziglar said, we all have 24-hour days. We all of us have been dispensed 24-hour days. What are you doing with it? Psalms 92:10, write that reference down. He told us to number our days. In the modern translation, it says, Lord, show me how much time I have left. We've all been dispensed a certain amount of time to get things done. That's why we use the phrase, some people are behind schedule. God's not bound by time. He's out of time. He's in eternity, but he gives us a dispensing of time to get things done. We have a schedule. God has a timetable that he manages our lives with and for. And so we got to know, Lord, how much time do I have left? The scripture says, teach me to number my days so that I can apply my heart to wisdom. That means I can't be foolish with my time. I've got to be wise and redeem my time. Number two, redeem the times because we've been allotted and allocated. Ephesians 5:15 through 16, Colossians 4:5. He says we are to redeem the time. Well, how do you redeem your time? Well, when you give your time to God first and honor him first, then he will help you to redeem it. That means buy back time, make the most of your time. You don't become a time killer, a time waster, a time squanderer. You become a Holy Spirit anointed time manager. You're getting things done when people are still dragging their feet and shuffling their legs around and seem like, where did time go? I couldn't get that done. Waiting until the last minute to do stuff. The first stewardship is the area of time. Too many time wasters. Amen. Time is a tiny part of our future. Eternity is our big future. You can't count time in eternity because you can count to 100 decillion years and you still just started eternity. Now, some of us can't even count to 100 decillion. But that's a long time. Everybody say that's a long time. Tomorrow's a product of today. What is your faith working on today to build a better tomorrow? What kind of future are we producing? Are we living for the rest of our natural life, or are we living for eternity and driven by eternity? Now, doing what you're supposed to do, be doing on time and in time. I'll say it again. Not doing what you're supposed to be doing on time and in time opens the door for the enemy to steal your future. Amen. He said the outward man is perishing. Yes, everybody's getting older. Every minute, every second, every hour, everybody in this room and everybody online is aging. Stop using it as an excuse. Not doing what we're supposed to be doing on time and in time opens the door for the enemy to steal your future. Because the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Every day is a new day in Christ. So you've been dispensed every time you wake up another fresh 24 hours to redeem the time and do on time and in time what God has called you to do. See, when my life counts for you in this life, then my life will count for me in the next life. So if I spend all my time around my three favorite people making sure I'm the center of attention, I'm the central attraction, I'm the centerpiece, I'm self-absorbed, I'm self-serving, I'm selfish, then I spend all my time revolving around me, myself, and I, then I'm going to waste my time and the enemy is going to steal my future in eternity time. Every opportunity we get to serve God should be valuable and precious to us. And I'm not just running around like a chicken with the head cut off, just saying, I'm so busy, and we always can't do this, can't serve the Lord, I can't talk to that person. No, I can't witness that person. No, Lord, I can't do that. I can't take my place in the body. No, I got to make excuses. I got to get an exemption. I got to be excused from doing that. Lord, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. And we open the door the whole time, and the devil's saying, I'm stealing your future. See, our focus is to be on who? Others, not myself. Being in a place where we are the church means we work and serve for others now in this time. Some people, unfortunately, are slacking off, stepping back, stepping down. But this is not the time. The time is to step up, to step out. He said in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 25, 21, 23, well done. Everybody say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Good means, write this down, good means this, benefiting and being a blessing to others. You know, when we play pickup basketball or flag football, whatever, and somebody said, well, I was good, man. You see that catch? You said, I was good. And you sit in that three-point line, you drain it. Man, I'm good. No, not by biblical standards. You're only as good as you benefit and bless others. I can't build my life in eternity, when I get to eternity, we are the church. We must build our life now. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?